Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
All right, we get a rolling on the Krug Show, brought to you by BetUS. And, of course, the Cone Zone meets the Krug Show today. Hope everybody's having a great day. It is August the 27th, 4:13 on the West Coast, 7:13 on the East Coast. Let's give the band the rest of the night off. Guys, thanks for coming out. Two-drink minimum, tip your waitresses. Cut-down day today in the NFL. And, of course, the Krug Show, we should always remember or remind you, brought to you by Pig in a Pickle, especially since I went there for lunch today. I was there in Corte Madera dining with the great. We'll keep it a secret. But
was it Kyle? Was it Jed?
Wasn't Jed? Is a media person who people haven't talked to in a long time.
Well,
I haven't talked about in a long time. So
is it Gary?
Yeah, it's not Gary. Not Gary.
Oh, I wish it was Gary. How's he doing? It was Gary.
Last time I talked to Gary was this summer, and he was doing great. He's doing great. He's raising his kids. He's got, you know, kids in college, and he's got three kids.
Do you remember when my dad retired, you and Gary invited him on the show to like do like a one final interview? And my dad was like, "Only if you have my son there too." And you guys had me on, and I didn't say anything because I was like nervous.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that was a long time ago.
And then Lowell and I did Gary's TV show together. Yep. Many times too, so we would chop it up in the green room. But yeah, we're brought to you by Pig in a Pickle, and they had great brisket. I had a brisket sandwich today. I had a little root beer, some potato salad. It was fantastic. Check them out, Emeryville, Corte Madera. Get the brisket. Go say hi to Damon and Mary. Tell them the Krug sent you.
And you know, then, when the Cone Zone and the Krug Show join forces, it's kind of like when Taco Bell and Pizza Hut join forces. You know, you ever see those half Taco Bell, half Pizza Hut? That's kind of us right now. We got it all.
Yeah, whatever you want. Trap or something. Yeah, the chicken wrap. What's the chicken wrap called? Where the chicken is the taco? I gotta try that. I haven't tried.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I went to Costco today and got a chicken bake, which is, I think, the best 800 calories you could get for $4 in 2024.
Now, did you buy them frozen and bring them home and make them
yourself, or did you? I got
from the Costco kitchen. Yeah,
it was nice. Yeah, they heated it up just for me. They're I also loving. Bought 96 golf balls because golf balls are expensive and I lose them all the time, and tequila.
You know, it's funny. Not only is Grant Cohn getting hooked on golf, my third son, Benjamin, who just graduated high school, he is going to DVC. He's getting hooked on golf.
Oh, we got to play.
Throwing my clubs. He's playing like 3-4 times a week. And, he's starting to play. He's got all kinds of deals because he's a kid and he's got some program where he gets in cheap and he's got cheap.
I'm going to beat his ass, Larry. I'm going to beat his ass.
The only thing is, you know what he did the other night? He did a real party foul. He played Tilden with no cart.
Oh my God. Did that take him 7 hours?
And they were just because they're too young.
In his defense, Tilden is like the slowest place that you can play. And so maybe there's no point in getting it. You're just going to wait around at Tilden all day. I don't know why.
Billy Goat Gruff, though, man, you get your steps in if you go play golf out there.
I haven't done 18 on foot yet. I'm too old for that.
Yeah. And I won't. I mean, no, without the cart, forget it. And we are brought to you by BetUS. And we should tell you, are you looking?
I'm just trying to see how long I can get him not to talk about football. No, go ahead.
Are you looking for a new book this football season? BetUS is the answer. With BetUS, you get the fastest payouts in the industry and easy withdrawals, live wagering on all major games. Plus, you get 10% back of your net losses twice a year. On top of that, you also get your own personal account manager. So just use the link below in either of our streams and sign up for BetUS because we're both with BetUS. You get 125% sign up bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,000. So be sure to use that link below. Sign up for BetUS, help support the show. Once again, the link in the description. All right.
A sports book that sponsors both Larry and me. That's a good sports book.
That's a good sports book. Yeah. That is a good sports book.
That's right.
And I'm having a lot of success and I'm loving it. So I would really advise all you guys to check it out because they do an incredible job and, I'm into it. And we'll look at some BetUS in a bit. Okay.
They told me to stop interrupting you. Okay. That's the last time. I promise. I'm done. I'm sorry. I got excited. We're talking about golf. I'm done. I promise. Larry's your show. Let's go.
Today was cut down day. And, I put out a thing the other day saying the Niners are going to go with two tight ends. And it wasn't that I really thought that, I've got some kind of inside source or anything. I just didn't like the group of tight ends this summer that much, to be honest, Grant. Willis couldn't block. Latu, there was no urgency. Tongas made it. He had a great camp. And if it was like a competition, he should have made it because he definitely won the competition. But I don't think he can block anybody. To me, he looks at Ross Dwelly and says, man, you're strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the truth.
I'm worried about Tongas as a blocker. And then, obviously, Kittle's Kittle. I like Pline. I really felt like they hid Pline all summer to get him to the practice squad.
For sure.
And I think that's exactly what happened there, or what's going to happen. And I think maybe Saubert will be picked up tomorrow. So it will be Saubert and Kittle. In addition to
Tongas.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think? Tongas is the receiver. Saubert's the blocker. They're at probably a cheaper rate than Werner and Dwelly. You still have Kittle there. You get Pline on the practice squad. Overall, I think, you know, I know it's a surprise to a lot of people. And I know for a lot of people that you're going to go, what the heck are you doing, Shanahan and Lynch? You can't pick anybody in the third round. They passed on Daywon Jones and all kinds of good talent to take Cam Latu. And you know, but another bust. I mean, it's their hit rate. I mean, I like John Lynch. He's a really good face of the franchise. But the Niners' hit rate in the draft, kind of spotty at times.
And they can't evaluate the tight end position. God knows how they got George Kittle, because every tight end they've tried to get since then has been terrible. But look, let's give them credit for not, you know, being slaves to roster politics. Jake Tongas was, or Tongas, however you pronounce his name, he was objectively better than Cam Latu and Braden Willis. So the Niners made the right call. They get credit for that. But also, like, you also got to get criticized for two bad draft picks. Like, Braden Willis, seventh round pick, okay, that's fine. He was a little bit of like a glorified UDFA, but Cam Latu in round three, straight up waived after 1 year that he spent on IR. Terrible.
Yeah. Terrible. I mean, that's just this position. Awful. You know, there are other positions that we could talk about the exact same thing. Wide
Danny
receiver.
Gray.
Let's go to wide receiver. They kept seven wide receivers, which was a little surprise to me. I didn't think they were going to keep Ronnie Bell. I got to be honest. I don't think Ronnie Bell deserved it. I don't think, and I don't, I bet you there's a receiver that they could get off the street who's cut somewhere else that's probably superior to Ronnie Bell, but they're invested in Ronnie. They like Ronnie. He did make some amazing catches at times in camp, but he also, the ball skills that he demonstrated last year were not nearly as consistent this year, and he didn't get any, and it's usually year two, you get a little bigger, a little stronger, a little faster. To me, he was he topped out a year ago. He didn't get bigger. He didn't get stronger. He didn't get faster.
No.
But he still made the
absolutely
team.
Absolutely not. No. So you got to go. Sorry. Sorry.
I was surprised by that one, Grant. Were you surprised that Ronnie Bell made the team there?
I like Ronnie Bell. I like Ronnie Bell.
He's got good ball skills, good hands.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like he... That's my thing. Like he'll drop the ball, he'll fumble the ball, but I feel like he's a good route runner. He's explosive. He can, run end arounds and reverses. He seems like a lot like Jacob Cowing, but less explosive. So I'm glad they kept him. I think he's a good football player as opposed to Danny Gray, who's not a football player.
Yeah. No, Danny Gray, it was just a guy who was fast, and he just, every hit he winced, and it just, he was on the sideline after every hit. But I'll say this, looking at this wide receiving core, let's just say whether you have Ayuk signed and he's, you're still kind of revving him up slowly, or if he doesn't sign, you may not have Ayuk for the Jets. You may not have Pearsall for the Jets, at least at full go. So your wide receiver core against the Jets could be Debo, JJ, a rookie and Jacob Cowing, Chris Conley, who was a special teamer last year, and Ronnie Bell. So, I mean, Ronnie Bell may see the ball and may get some action in week one against the Jets.
Jacob Cowing might get some action week one against the Jets. Like, to me...
Yeah, he was impressive, by the way, the other day.
Yeah, like, if you were saying, like, top five most impressive players in training camp and preseason for the Niners... Jordan Mason.
Yeah.
Jacob Cowing. Those are two of the five. And yep, there would be others. But like Cowing was a big, big deal for them. Yeah, absolutely. Lenore. But like those two guys really emerged. And Cowing in the last like week and a half, he was hurt for a long time, came back and just exploded on the scene. I like him a lot.
I think Cowing has got some dynamic ability. And he was impressive when we talked to him at the podium. He's just really focused, and he's had a really good, last week or so. He looked really good on the first day. Then he pulled the hamstring. Then he was out a week. Then he came back, and since he's been back, it's like he's smooth. He's a route runner. He seems like he's got a pretty decent even rapport with Purdy, considering he's a rookie. That's surprising. But they did keep a lot of wide receivers. That was interesting that they kept that many wide receivers. But I guess you have to, because you obviously had to go with Ayuk and Pearsall. That's I guess a good sign that you're not going to put him on any kind of injured list.
Yet. I'm cynical.
I am too. I mean, he's been in the, somebody said to me, what do you think of Ricky Pearsall? What does he look like to you? And I closed my eyes for a second, and I thought about it, and I said, he looks like a Ram. Because he's always wearing a blue freaking jersey.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, that's why he looks like a Ram. He's always out there in the blue jerseys. It's rare to see him in the red or the white.
It kind of feels like they're like, hey, man, well, Kittle played through this injury for years. You should be able to play through it, too. Like, all right, well, they're two different people, and – if this keeps popping out randomly, if that's the situation he's in, he should have surgery now, not after the next subluxation, which is a new word I've learned.
Well, I mean, and then if you have the surgery, you're probably out 6 months, right?
Yeah.
So that it's like a season ender. And that would be a bummer since he's a first round draft choice. What do you think of the way they pared down the offensive line? I mean, Trent is not on this roster because he's on the reserve did not report list. So he didn't have to count. So they got an extra roster spot, and they went with Banks, Brendel, Pooney, McKivitz, and then Jalen Moore is your starter for Trent. So your backups are Burford, Sakel, and Feliciano's hurt. So they kind of went short on the O-line, really. I mean, they Hubbard, I thought there was a chance that they would take Hubbard. They didn't. I thought there was a chance they would take Nugent. He graded out really highly, or Kingston. They didn't. Not surprisingly, they went with Sakel. over Nugent, though Nugent, according to PFF, you know, had the better preseason. What'd you think of what they did on the O-line?
I don't understand why Zakel made the team. I'm not an O-line expert, but every time I've watched him, he's getting driven backward. He can't anchor. He doesn't really play any position particularly well. I guess he's versatile. That's why he made the team, but I'm surprised that they kept him over Kingston.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially
I've never been impressed by Zakel. Never.
I mean, especially since you've got other guys that can play center, and you would think, you know, that would, it wouldn't be that big a deal to, you know, you'd have, rather have somebody like Kingston who's got a little bit more power to him. Mm. I was surprised that Nugent, I thought Nugent played pretty well, but I guess Nugent and Kingston potentially could be pretty good practice squad guys. I think they're probably going to, you know, because they kind of have some low end guys, they don't really have prospects here or guys that anybody thinks are going to be special down the road, or they don't even really have O linemen with special physical traits, really. So I think that their O line's probably going to all clear through waivers, and you know what I mean? They're going to have their pick of their guys from their.
I got a question for you.
They cut
about this O line.
Yeah.
So Trent Williams isn't on it right now. He's on the reserve, did not report list, and the Niners tweeted out a picture of their offensive line with Aaron Banks smiling, proud, and all the players on it. Is that the worst offensive line in the league without Trent?
Banks, Brendel, Pooney, and McKivitz.
And more.
I don't think it's going to have its own nickname. You know, I think the Hogs are feeling pretty good. They're feeling like we're safe. Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to tell you something, Larry.
I mean, if
Trent like doesn't play,
I think Pooney might be a 10-year starter.
If so Trent doesn't play and Brock gets hurt, Kyle's is responsible for that. Like, Brock is not responsible if he gets hurt behind that offensive line. That's malpractice.
What's going to be the worst part about it is it's like, if you want to say, if everybody's saying, you know, if the familiar refrain of the fans is you need X, and that X is offensive line, and then you come back with no. We don't need X. We're just fine. And then you need X. Yeah. You're going to, especially coming off of that Super Bowl where an offensive line blow up ultimately was your undoing. And then you're going to come back the next year with pretty much the same line, except you're not going to get Trent signed and run it back with, you know, I think after watching last year, you should have said, okay, Purdy didn't wet the bed in the Super Bowl. Build a freaking fortress around this guy. Invest in the offensive line and really build a wall around him. And they just kind of, we feel like we can get.
That's what the Chiefs did when they lost their Super Bowl, right? When the Chiefs lost their Super Bowl, they were like, oh my God, we did not give our star quarterback enough protection. We're never going to let that happen again. Niners didn't learn that lesson.
Yeah. No, seriously.
And one more thing, the Niners could have drafted Kingsley Suamataia. They traded down in round two for Renardo Green, who looks solid. But right now, Kingsley Suamataia is the starting left tackle for the Chiefs. Come on. Come on, Kyle. You haven't drafted an offensive tackle since Jalen Moore. Come on, man. Come on. You could have had Pooney and Suamataia on the same line. That was there. That was available for you. Pooney, yeah, great pick.
I will not sit here and say that I was banging the drum for Kingsley on draft day.
No, I am a Monday morning quarterback of the highest degree, for sure.
But that's not my job, and it is their job. And they you know, they were looking at all these films of all these guys. So if one of these guys turns into the next freaking Hall of Famer, John Hanna, yeah, I mean, you're probably going to have to answer for that. You know, you pass on awesomeness, and you know what? People tend to not forget those things. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you're measuring yourself against the Chiefs anyway, man. Like, you thought that guy was nothing. You traded down. Chiefs disagreed, and all of a sudden they got a starting left tackle. So,
well, and it's really galling too, because in a year where you're looking to be more dynamic, they get Xavier Worthy and a starting left tackle, and you get a guy with a shoulder problem. And
No. You got Dominic Pooney and Jacob
Cowley. Out that's from your good. Left tackle.
You got a guard and a slot receiver. Nice.
I like
freaking left tackle and a starting wide receiver. Like, it's a little bit better, but
we'll see if they got a starting wide receiver. I think that's TBD.
Worthy.
I think that's TBD.
Yeah, we'll see.
His skills. Yeah. I don't think that's for sure.
All right, let's jump to my hot take is that the Niners wanted Worthy and the Chiefs leapfrogged them to take him, and they took Pearsall as a plan B. They never met with Pearsall before the draft. They didn't know about his shoulder injury, apparently. I think that was someone that they weren't super sold on, and that's why they took Cowing later.
Well, yeah. I mean, and how many times have we seen the 49ers in this during this regime go for one position early in the draft, double up later in the draft, and have the second edition be better than the first edition?
I have a hot take again with the Niners in the first round. They need to stop standing pat. They're best for... Let's take Nick Bosa out of the equation because that was kind of like a no-brainer. Their best first-round pick they've made is Ayuk, which was a trade-up. If you like a guy, go freaking get him. Or if you don't like anyone in particular, trade out. Just like standing pat and waiting for someone to get there and rolling the dice, I think is part of the reason why the Niners have such a bad track record in round one.
It's nice to have conviction, but I think they did have conviction and traded up for Jalen Hurd and Dante Pettis too. But they did also trade up for Jair Brown. So I kind of know what you're saying. It's like if you have a player that you're targeting and you know where he's going to go, if you have the conviction, go for it.
She said it was Xavier Worthy.
Exactly, and they got from what I read there, Mahomes was so in love with Xavier Worthy and the ability to create all that space for Kelsey, and he just said, you know what, get me Xavier Worthy, and Veach and you know, Andy Reid relented. What do you think of the D-line? The Niners went Bosa, Hargrave, Collins, Floyd. Okay, and Floyd's kind of dinged up. Then they went Matos, who's also, they say, week to week. Jordan Elliott, Givens. These are not surprises. Beal. But the surprise is Sam Aquanu. Sam Aquanu from Maryland. Undrafted free agent from 2022, played at Maryland. I did an interview with him. He's super athletic. He's like 6'1", about 270 pounds, and he's from Massachusetts, Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yeah,
committed. He went to Maryland and 90 tackles at Maryland. So interesting guy, 6'1", 270, kind of a power packed guy, third team All Big Ten back in 2021. Had a couple, one or two sacks in the preseason, something like that.
Yeah, he looked good. Lowell, Massachusetts. You know who else is from Lowell, Massachusetts? Who is that boxer that Mark Wahlberg portrayed in that movie, The Fighter? Mickey. He's from Lowell, Massachusetts. Lowell.
Mickey
something or other. Sorry. Anyway. My take on the Niners, this is the one position I felt like they just put bodies there. Like at tight end, they were like, look, we could keep Eric Sobert, but he's not one of our 53 best players. We're going to take less tight ends just because we want to keep our best 53. But you kept Robert Beal? Like, take Sam Aquanu out of it. He actually was like the Jake Tonjes of the defense. He played well in camp. Robert Beal? He did nothing. You just put him on the team because you needed a body there. That's too bad. And that speaks to the team's lack of depth. Like, if Drake Jackson were healthy, I don't think Robert Beal would be on this team.
Well, I mean, if you look at Robert Beal walk through the room, you would have no, you know, qualms about him. He's on the first guy off the bus kind of team, right? He looks the part. He's 260. He's ripped. He's fast. He's a great athlete. I understand, you know, why they showed interest in him and why they're investing in him. But we've been waiting on it now, and he's now in a position where the fourth and the fifth defensive end, you know, in today's NFL play. It's a passing game. They rotate their linemen. So, you know, these guys play. I mean, you could have a backup guard or center. Those guys may never play. But backup defensive linemen typically play in a rotation. So it's going to be important that Beal, I mean, if there's one thing, and I said this to you on the practice field, I think the other day, if there's one thing that has really stood out this summer to me, it's that in a very short amount of time, like literally a couple summers, we've seen the Niners go from, wow, look at how much enormous depth they have on their defensive line, to, man, they're thin. And that's 2 years. I mean, they remember all the guys they had? They had Ebukam, and they had a Menahue, and Sheldon Day, and they just had dudes, all kinds of Kentavious Street, and they just Javon had a bunch Kinlaw, of guys.
First-round pick.
Yeah, they just had a bunch of guys. They came at you in waves. Now it's like they are really, really limited, and they're leaning on Beal. They're leaning on Kwanu. I mean, these guys are going to play and get reps, especially in the first part of the year, because I don't know what Gross Matos can give them in week one. And I don't, same with Floyd.
Yeah. And what's crazy, like, not just the D line, but the whole roster. I feel like in the last couple of years, around now, you'd be thinking, or the discussion would be, how many players that the Niners cut and waived are going to get picked up by other teams and put on their 53-man roster? Because the Niners are so good. They're not just talented, they're deep. Best roster in football. Now, this year, it's like, well, how many players are the Niners going to claim off waivers? All of a sudden, they need a D lineman. They need a tight end. I mean, they're in the they're dumpster diving. The Niners. It's crazy. Not to be disrespectful to players on the margin, but, like, you know, it's a figure of speech. They're essentially dumpster diving right now. And they were not in this position for years.
No. Part of it is the Hargrave trade. You know, they kind of gutted their defensive depth for the star interior rusher who then had a total pedestrian first season with the Niners. Yeah. I mean, if there's one guy, you know, give me a reason to think that the Niners could be better this year than last year, I would point to Hargrave, because I think Hargrave was totally mediocre last year. And I think he's got more talent than that. And I think he could probably step up and play better than that.
I think what's interesting about the Niners D line is how, like, you got two very expensive players in Bosa and Hargrave, and then two much more reasonably priced players in Malik Collins and Leonard Floyd, who just happened to produce what the other two players produced last year. Not saying Collins and Floyd are as good as Bosa and Hargrave, but they just happened to produce what those guys produced last year. So it's a little pressure on Bosa and Hargrave to, like, step it up.
No doubt. I mean, and I do think there's potential that both will. So that's good news, but it's time to. What did you think at linebacker? Fred Warner, Devondre Campbell, D. Winters, Demetrius Flanagan, Fowles, Curtis Robinson, and Tatum Bethune. They kept six. They waived Jalen Graham. They kept Curtis Robinson, who had a phenomenal training camp.
He did.
And then Tatum Bethune, I guess you could argue, outplayed Jalen Graham. I love Jalen Graham. I think Jalen Graham's going to go somewhere and be a really good player. I kind of like Jalen Graham more than I like Winters, to be completely honest, but they love Winters. So what'd you think of the way they pared down the linebackers?
They had to get rid of one guy that, I mean, they kept seven wide receivers. I almost thought they could justify keeping seven linebackers. And if they didn't keep seven linebackers, I thought they would try to trade one. Like Demetrius Flanagan Foles or Jalen Graham. Honestly, I understand why they kept Curtis Robinson. He had a great camp. I understand why they kept Tatum Bethune. He had a great preseason. He had like 20 tackles. I don't think only five players had more than that. So they deserved it. But I don't think Jalen Graham's going to clear waivers. Maybe I'm wrong. They think that he might. He was a late seventh round pick, and he's sort of their secret. But if and when he doesn't clear waivers, they're going to regret that, because they kept Sam Okwuanu, who no one else wanted. I mean, this is an interesting one.
Bethune, I'm wondering if Bethune just had a good preseason and will get just roasted in NFL coverage, or if he can run better than I think. I don't know, because the numbers, his workout numbers were not great, but man, in the preseason, he is just showing up at the football, and he's doing it a lot in practice recently too. So maybe he's just one of those guys that diagnoses fast and plays fast, and
Chris Borland.
Who knows? What's that?
Chris Borland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a hitter like Chris Borland, who was really good for a while.
Matthew's not going to have that sideline to sideline speed. Like he has to get to the sideline, he'll be diving at ankles, but between the tackles, it seems like he has a really good ability to stack and shed, and he has good instincts, and he makes plays.
The Niners cut Sam Womack, and they cut Rock Ya-Sin, and they kept six at the position. They went with Mooney, Lenore, Renardo, Yotam, Luter, and Ambry. So is it really just Ambry going to potentially, do you think Ambry's going to be on the roster for the year? Or do you think Ambry goes to an injured list and they either pick up Womack or Ya-Sin back? How do you see that one?
I think they'll put Ambry on IR in the next couple of days so they can bring him off of IR midseason. And I don't know why they want to do that. They are so loyal to Ambry Thomas when it seems like he would have been perfectly fit to get cut with the other draft picks that got cut today, but I think he'll be on IR for half a season and come back. But if they're in a position where they need Ambry Thomas to help them out down the stretch, they're in trouble. Sorry. It's not like he's much better than Samuel Womack. He's not.
No, I mean, I don't know. These guys, they're all talented. It's hard to know who's gonna fire, you know? Yeah. I mean, Ambry Thomas is super talented. Womack's super talented. They've both kind of been inconsistent. You know, that's the thing.
They run 4.3s. They're talented guys.
But, I mean, Yasin is a veteran, so he's a little bit more dependable in the short area. Womack's got a little bit better deep speed than Yasin. I don't know. I mean, it's like, what do you want? Do you want the veteran? And then, of course, somebody could pick up one of these guys off waivers. I guess the good news today was that Hufanga was activated off the PUP list, right? So that means that he is not going to miss. What was the PUP list going to mean?
Miss a month? 4 weeks. So he could miss a game or two or three, but he won't miss definitely four, it seems.
But he also may not be ready for the Jets. Who do you think gets that start opposite Brown in week one? Do you think it's Odom, who looks so good at times in camp, or do you think it's Mustafa, who actually got some run with the ones in the Raider game?
I would go with Mustafa. Kyle's probably going to go with the vet because Kyle has prejudiced against rookies.
He likes,
I don't know what his deal is. He's going to go with Odom because he's Kyle.
Yeah.
I would go Mustafa though. I like Mustafa. I would start Mustafa at strong safety. I would start D Winters at linebacker, not Demetrius Flanagan Fowles. I think, and I would have Jacob Cowing be the number three receiver if Ayuk isn't out there. Like, let the youth play.
Let's role play. I'll be media and you be Kyle Shanahan. Kyle, you put both Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs on the roster. Who's quarterback two and who's quarterback three?
Yeah, we haven't really made that decision yet. We'll figure that, we'll work all that out, but we haven't told them yet. So that'll be a fluid situation.
He does like to go with the, we haven't told them yet. We're going to tell them before we tell you jokers.
We're not going to tell them either. We're not telling anybody.
Looking at the thing from, you know, the back, you know, the 50,000 foot view of the roster, what stands out to you? I mean, they did go a little short at tight end, but we do expect them to probably bring back Saubert once they move a couple guys to the injured list. So that we do expect them to have at least three tight ends on the roster. But what was your primary takeaway overall? I don't love the fact that they went with Flanagan Fowles over Graham, because it seems to me that you should protect the young linebackers that could potentially play from scrimmage over special teams linebackers who I think are, you know, you can find on the street easily.
Demetrius Flanagan Foles over Jalen Graham. Brandon Allen over Tanner Mordecai. Like, these vets who made the team just because Kyle Shanahan is scared of playing young guys. I mean, it's predictable. We know none of us really thought Tanner would make the team, but I think most of us think that Tanner's probably better than Brandon, except for Kyle. So that's one. But I think also it's just another day that's overshadowed by Brandon and Trent. It's like, okay, the Niners tried to have news about regular stuff, but still the thing is like, oh, is Trent on there? Is Brandon on there? What's up with them? And they can't avoid that. And it's like, we're 13 days away. You guys eventually need to change the narrative to football stuff and not business eventually, but that's on them.
What do you think? I mean, Trent putting out, hey, look, Trent's looking for a big boy payday. Trent's looking for, he's basically just screaming at Parag through the media. Unless I get, you know, significant millions sent to me, I'm more than happy to sit at home and I will be at home. So it's like people, you know, Deshaun Jackson said, oh, it's close and he's going to be there, but seems like.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Like, you know, things are not getting done, which is awfully similar to the Aiyuk deal this summer.
Yeah, I think people don't understand. It's not necessarily about the money. It's about ego. And from Trent Williams' perspective, like, accepting that he's the fourth highest paid left tackle with no guaranteed money left on his deal would almost be accepting that he's no longer the best. And his ego won't allow him to do that. So he needs the 49ers to validate his ego and show him once again that he's the best. And I don't think that he's necessarily interested in playing NFL football unless he's playing on those terms, which is scary because he's older and he's asking for guaranteed money over multiple seasons and he could retire at any time.
But I mean, you know, talk about a leverage. I mean, you know, you've got a young quarterback that you're trying to keep upright. You're taking, yeah, you know, the season starts and you really don't have even a third tackle of note, let alone a backup left tackle. I mean, literally, they're, at some point, they're either going to have to say it's Trent or we're going to have to invest in a different veteran option because they can't just be like, Jalen Moore, that's it. No. Jalen Moore, not based on what I've seen this summer.
Chuba Hubbard, no, he's not even on the team.
Yeah. But they can't go the Jalen Moore route, and they sure as hell couldn't have gone the Brandon Parker route. He was one of the guys they cut today. They cut, by the way, Ben Bartsch, Robbie Chosen, Chris Hubbard, T.Y. McGill, Brandon Parker, Eric Sauber, Trent Taylor, Logan Thomas, Tracy Walker, Nick Williams, Rocky Asin. Any of those surprise you? I guess Trent Taylor was a little bit of a surprise to me because it seemed like they really had earmarked him for a return role, but not so much.
They kept Rakius in, right?
No,
they cut him.
They released him.
I thought they were going to keep him, but at the same time, he's gotten cut a bunch of times the last few years. I think that makes sense. What was one player that made the team that you think shouldn't have made it?
The one player that made the team that I thought shouldn't
have made it. How did John Feliciano make the team? What did he do?
Well, I mean, Feliciano is only on this team because of his rep. I don't think he needed to do anything this summer. Okay. He played efficient football for them last year. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be out half the year. He takes a roster spot for a day, and then they'll go get somebody else. But yeah, he would be the easy answer. I think Ronnie Bell is dime a dozen, to be honest. When you look at the kinds of receivers that, you know, that exist in this league and the guys that didn't make teams, I think he's got good ball skills, but he's not big. He's not fast.
Ronnie Bell. I like me and you disagree.
I like Ronnie Bell's game as far as, you know, he had a 100-yard day in the preseason last year, but he did not progress. I don't see a lot of upside there.
He flashes, he's a little bit top.
Yeah, there's
flashes.
And I'll say this, like if Ayuk is not there week one, Ronnie Bell is probably a better, more dependable option than Cowing or Conley.
I don't know if he's dependable, but like I know that he beat Tre'Davious Ward twice in 11 on 11s this offseason for catches. Like
he's the best toe tapper of the nine receivers. He's the best sideline toe tapper they got.
He can make acrobatic catches. You say he has good ball skills. I don't agree at all. I feel like he's a drop waiting to happen. I just feel like if he could just put it all together, he would be a solid slot receiver. But I don't know that he'll ever put it all together. And I think the Niners are still like kind of waiting. Like Danny Gray, we've seen enough. You got nothing to put together. But yeah, Ronnie Bell has these flashes.
Well, you know, Ronnie Bell's dad is a college wide receiver coach. So, I mean, like playing wide receiver is the family business. That's what they're talking about at the dinner table. So in some ways, he's like a second year player who looks like a seventh year player. He's very refined. He's gotten in some ways, he's got the best hands on the sideline and he's got great body control. He's just not that big. You know, he's maybe 6 feet and he doesn't run that fast. He's probably mid four fives. But you know, I mean, I just think
4.54, 5'11 and a half, 38 inch vert.
He will catch the ball. So like
he's quick.
If you put it on the hands, he'll catch it.
Yeah.
I think Zakel to me was unimpressive this summer. I like Nick, good guy, but I thought he was unimpressive. I think Beal Jr. and Aquanu are, you know, kind of practice squad level defensive ends, and I think they need to upgrade there. If they really think they're going to the Super Bowl, and they're going to have more on their defensive line than what I'm looking at here. I mean, there's just no question about it. I think they know it too.
They always want to be very deep on the D line. I mean, they made the trade for Chase Young last year. I don't think they're done there.
They will get Kalia Davis. They think back, but then the question I would have is
for how long?
For how long exactly? Yeah. How long could he possibly stay healthy? Mm-hmm. I guess I'm not surprised though. I mean, I'm not surprised they went with Garendo. I'm a little surprised they went with Patrick Taylor. But I was telling you, I thought in that Raider game when I watched it again, I thought Patrick Taylor looked amazing in that game.
You called it. You said that to me the other day.
I thought he looked great in that game. He's big and he's rangy and he's kind of fast. He's interesting. That's a bizarre beneath the radar. Nobody's talked about him all summer, but he's a big back. He's got kind of good speed. He's an interesting back. I mean, he's athletic. And he made the team and Cody Schrader didn't. I wonder if Schrader will be a practice squad guy for them. That would be another one.
I would think he will. I don't think he did enough in the preseason games to get put on another team's 53. He had good reviews in practice, but that's different.
Do you think if you're a gambling man, are you in that? Is Lynch going to pull the 11th hour, you know, second and a third and Ayuk's a commander or a Steeler and for some kind of draft pick compensation when nobody's looking and just try to weather the storm? Or do you think they do cross the finish line and get it done with Ayuk, and he's out there.
My best guess is that it's an 11th hour trade, but I'm usually wrong. And my logic here is that I think the 49ers have made their final offer. I don't think they're going to up it again. And I think what they want is to let the fans know that they tried their hardest. They really tried, and they took it down to the deadline. They didn't give up on him because they wanted him. But Ayuk was just difficult, and Ayuk wasn't willing to negotiate, and Ayuk was unreasonable. So they had to trade him at the very last minute, but blame him. That's kind of what I think they're setting up. Maybe I'm wrong.
You think that you know, I'll tell you one receiver, by the way, if the Niners really wanted to you know, if they wanted to move on from Ayuk and really stick it to him, they could sign Joseph Ngata, his good buddy, who the Eagles just cut, who was like one of the talk of the Eagles camp, the Clemson kid from Sacramento. That's Ayuk's buddy. The Niners could sign Ngata to the practice squad and have his buddy on the team and then still trade Ayuk. I don't know. I hope they get it done. I hope they, but I've been saying that for weeks. I hope they figure it out. And because to me, there's just, even though we can try and hope for, you know, the best, I don't really think that the return in this trade, it just reeks of they're not going to get fair value. It doesn't seem like the 49ers are going to do well in this trade. It seems like they're going to get screwed in this trade for future picks, and it may help their cap in future years. But in September, who the hell's rooting for your cap in future years?
But what's the alternative? Like, short of Ayuk, short of the Niners caving and giving Ayuk everything he wants, or Ayuk caving and meeting the Niners on their terms, if you try to force him to play on the fifth-year option, will he? Or will he say, okay, no, I'll play as little as I have to. You can find me if you want. And you could say that it's hurting me, but it's also hurting you. So you're going to lose more games than you thought you would. And whatever trade that you had in hand for me is going to go down, because Pittsburgh is going to not offer a second and a third if you're not getting 17 games of me. So that's what the Niners have to weigh. Like, is forcing him to play out the fifth year option beneficial to them in any way? Will that help? I'm not sure it will.
Well, I mean, it might help as far as not setting the precedent, you know, as far as precedent setting for future negotiations. You could argue that would be the best thing, right, for the Niners, is that he plays in the fifth-year option and they don't bow. If they cave and give him $30 million, that's a new precedent, you know?
Because they would have done it 2 years in a row, late cave.
Right, and then all of a sudden now you're just begging. You know, you're almost like telling your players indirectly, we will reward you if you go to the finish line
and hold out all summer. Yes.
But why is that a good thing? You know, that's not good. And look at the players that have done that. They haven't particularly played up to their capabilities. So I don't know. I mean, and then the other thing is, like, if you sign this guy to a big money deal, and then all of a sudden, what's he immediately going to do? The natural inclination is to try to rev it up, right? Hey, you got the Jets and you better get it revved up, you know? And then in the process of revving it up, he could easily cost himself half the year with
no question
soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
So it's your. Well,
but it's not like the Niners have had a billion of those this offseason. So it's nothing to worry about.
It's your proverbial lose-lose. All right. Let's hit the supers. Yes. Zach Rivera says, can either of you consider asking Lynch about Teo's comment about a drained Niners and how does the team keep spirits up after a brutal Super Bowl loss? You know,
love
what?
I
love that.
Why
one
not?
Too.
Yeah.
Whether it's Lynch or Shanahan, I think that is fair game, and I would like to ask that question the next time we get a chance to, because you know what? You can sit there. I mean, think about it. Teo said that. What did immediately everybody do? Oh, yeah, that's a catfish.
It's like, wait a second. That has nothing to do with anything. Like,
right.
He made a fair point. You could agree or disagree, but I agree with them. They do look burnt out.
Yeah, he made a point. Now, granted, the one pushback I would say is he did – base it on the last two preseason games.
Right.
The Niners do have 25% roughly of the top 30 players in the league, of which I think none of them basically played in those games outside of Purdy and maybe Kittle. I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying? There's no Bosa, no Warner, no Ayuk, no Trent, no, you know, no Mooney. There was a lot of guys sitting out that really are pretty good. That could have contributed. But I kind of agree with Manti Te'o's premise, which is that the vibe's been a little different. And I don't know if it's, I would say, if you ask me, I would say when you go to the finish line and you play in the Super Bowl and you play in the NFC Championship game on a regular basis and you're playing all those extra games, I think the physical extra games wear you down. And then also, I just think it's hard to emotionally get it revved up in July when you're know that you got to get it ultimately revved up in December and January and February.
Also, really. Mansai, like, I agreed with what he said. Like, the Niners have a specific attitude, a bully attitude, and that is encapsulated by Trent Williams and Debo. Them leading the team out together, it's a very audacious, cocky way to enter the field of play. And it's very 49ers, and it's those two guys, and it's specifically Trent, right? Like, Debo's great, but Trent's the oldest player on the team. He's the OG. He's the future first ballot Hall of Famer. And without him out there, they're just not the same bully, and yeah. You can't not notice true. It.
Yeah, no. I mean, the Niners enter the arena like the baddest man on the planet. And yeah,
they're Mike Tyson in the prime. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. They're not there. You know, you can't fake when you're not the baddest man on the planet any longer. You can't fake it. We got this one from Joshua Wyatt. He says, Womack makes no sense. He can play outside and slot, but we keep Ambry. Whose best skill is never getting flagged for being too close to a receiver? Well, first of all, yeah, I mean, there is this love for Ambry. I mean, my God. It was a third round pick. It wasn't like you invested the first top five pick in the draft in the guy. And he's had many opportunities. I do understand why they like Ambry. In a lot of ways, he's physically the prototype. But Womack's got long arms. I don't think he's got the emotional baggage on the field that Ambry possesses. I think he's healthier right now. I think he's going to be, I think he's got more good football coming up than Ambry does. So I'm really surprised by that as well.
I bet Washington claims him off waivers. Adam Peters.
Womack?
Yeah. Best guess.
Yeah. Dazza says at this stage, it just feels like stubbornness and hubris when it comes to the O-line. Yeah. I mean,
is it very dangerous not to invest in that position? We saw what happened to the Colts when they didn't invest in the offensive line and they had Andrew Luck. It was like the biggest mistake in franchise history. So it seems like a good idea until your quarterback gets hurt.
I mean, if you said to me, I'm giving you an NFL team, where are you starting? I kind of think football begins with your offensive line. Now, I'm not saying you got to have the blue chippers and, you know, take guys in the top 10 every year. I think you got to find tough guys who can play in cold weather, who, you know, who love to play football, love contact. But football starts with your O-line. If you have a bad O-line, that hurts your weapons. If you have a great O-line, that aids your weapons. I think the O-line is vitally important. Jose Olalde says, I'm trying to figure out how Ronnie Bell and Ambry Thomas made the 53 man. Yeah, I'm not.
Do you think
those.
My super chat? Do you think Elijah Mitchell has played his final down with the Niners? How was he on IR for the year? What with what? He
yes, was because he's
he
a
was
free
in camp
agent
yesterday.
Smiling.
He was practicing yesterday. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's amazing.
I think he's done. I think he's done.
Well, I'll say this. When you run upright and you're 200 pounds,
yeah,
you're on borrowed time. You don't last. You don't last long in the NFL running upright at 200 pounds. No. That's what he does.
You and what's crazy, the reason the Niners drafted him, he ran a 4.35. I think that's what drew them to him or vice versa. He doesn't
really
play
ironic.
Like that.
Yeah, isn't that? I was just about to.
He doesn't play like that. And whatever he played at 2 years ago, he doesn't play like that anymore either. I mean, he's got no speed left, so he's done.
Yeah, Vernon ran 4.37 coming out of Maryland, but he wasn't that kind of a player typically. He was more like, you know, strong inline blocker. And this guy, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, that's, you look at those numbers, you're thinking one thing and you see another.
Larry, I got a question for you before we get out of here. The Bills waived Frank Gore Jr. Who was the second leading rusher in the preseason after Trey Lance, averaged 4.9 yards per carry. Should the Niners claim Frank Gore Jr.?
Yes.
Why not? He's better than Patrick Taylor Jr.
Yes, and not because of nepotism.
No.
Because this guy can play.
Yeah.
Frank Gore Jr. can play. I'm absolutely convinced of that. He can play. He's got a lot of the gifts that his dad had.
I like him better than Cody Schrader.
I probably, if you said Gore or Schrader, I'd probably go with Gore.
If they pick up Frank Gore, I'm juiced. Fan in me. I'm not even a fan, but that would be so freaking cool.
Oh, it would be cool.
It would be cool.
Frank's, you know, in the organization. So I think that would even be really cool. That would even be more cool.
Yeah.
We got this one from 49er Talk Show. If IU comes back, who do you think will be cut off the team? Also, do you see the 49ers do if Trent Williams holds out? Do you see them pick up a release left tackle in the market? If so, are there any names?
Yeah. Brandon Parker, Chuba Hubbard. God. If IU comes back, I mean, he's already on the 53-man roster. They already got a spot for him. They don't have to cut anyone.
Yeah, and as far as names, I mean, you got to give me a little time to take a look at the list. I'll throw some names on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter.
Joe Staley.
Cambier.
Harris Staley. Barton.
Anthony Munoz.
Bubba Paris.
Bubba Paris.
It's Slim Pickens, guys.
Bubba Paris.
Yeah.
Somebody. There'll be somebody out there, I'm sure.
Anthony Davis.
John Chisari says, if it comes down to signing Ayuk or Trent, force Ayuk to play on his option and give Trent a blank check. Grant focus.
Look, I really hope the Niners force Ayuk to play on his fifth-year option. I just want to see what that looks like, because to me, it sounds like chaos, and that always benefits me. It doesn't benefit the team per se, but I'll take it. Like, do that. Try that. Sounds great.
It does sound like storm clouds in the locker room.
Oh, God. I really hope that happens.
They may need to do a curtain around Ayuk's locker just to so people don't stare at his discontent. Please do not notice our wide receivers' obvious discontent.
Yeah.
Who's that guy in the corner of the room lighting a fire?
Don't worry about it.
My ball, Zach Ertz, says we are to the Chiefs what the Bengals were to the Niners in the 80s.
That hurts.
That's already just that thinking hurts. That the way that was stated takes me back to St. Ignatius, and it hurts my head. I'm thinking again. Yeah. We are to the Chiefs what the Bengals were to the Niners.
So we're saying Kyle is Sam Weiss?
Are you saying that we're the Chiefs B? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It does feel
the team in the Chiefs sucks? Like NFL films movie. You know what I mean? Oh, there's the Niners again. It's not really about them, but they're there.
It does feel when you're playing the Chiefs like it's a gigantic Mahomes movie, and we're all like subplots. You know,
yes.
We're all just like actors in this. It's his show. It's his story. Yeah. It's his narrative, and we're all just kind of hanging. Last one. Oh wait. We got this one. Here we go.
John Muniz.
Wouldn't be a live stream if you couldn't have an unrealistic trade. He says, trade B.A. and Elijah Mitchell to Cincinnati for Ja'Marr Chase and call it a day.
I love it. Who wouldn't want Elijah Mitchell right after he's been placed on IR for the entire year? I think that's the sweetener that the Niners were looking for.
That's a Larry Kruger move right there. That's a
hell yeah.
There's a man bucking for his own YouTube channel.
Yeah,
John
baby.
Munoz. No, but overall, I would say kind of an uneventful thing. If there's one thing I would say to look for, I think it's very likely. Obviously, we're going to have a couple names move back and forth. Sauerbert's going to be on the roster. But I also think it's pretty likely that, you know, even though they went with the Maryland kid today and they're going with Beal today, as they get a little closer, I think you're going to see more established. There's going to be somebody with a better track record at defensive end added to this mix. I would be almost shocked if we got to, like, let's say week three and there wasn't another defensive end that's not here. Would you agree? Or, I mean, this doesn't seem like they're going
Gregory.
The guys. What's that?
They go get Randy Gregory.
That's right. Go get Randy Gregory. Who
I heard he liked it out here in California. Why not?
He paid me a very nice compliment last year when I made a question to me, said, "You watch film, man. I can tell you're a real one." I said, "Randy, thank you. Thank you very much."
I went up to Randy and introduced myself and said, "Hi, I'm Grant Cohn." And he laughed and he goes, "I know who you are," and walked away. I was like, "I think, thanks."
Awesome. That is awesome.
Thanks, I think.
Welcome to the Niners.
I went to Corey. I was like, "Did you tell Randy about me?" He was like, "No, he does his own research." I was like, "That sounds terrible. I don't like that."
Man, Randy really knows his stuff. Yeah. He had a locker that was no more than two arms lengths away from Javon. So maybe Javon said something. He might have said something.
Yeah.
Hey, see that guy over there? That guy? No, not that guy with the hat. Not the guy with the hat. The other guy, the shorter guy without the hat.
Yeah. That the skinny guy who doesn't wear his pants on his hips. Yeah, that freaking guy. I don't like
him. The guy with the pencil in the ear. That
yeah,
guy.
The freaking T in his ear. Obnoxious. He's been golfing for 3 months, thinks he's Tiger Woods.
Oh wait, I've got my bet US. We probably should do a little bet US here.
We should.
Yeah, let's do our bet US. I would not be a complete live stream without a little bet US. I just need my bet US little screen there and I'll call it up. And there it is. No, there's my overlay.
Doom, 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 doom.
Where's my bet? I don't know. I think that's it. I think this is my overlay. My bet. Oh, I get on. Here we go. What am I saying? We're going to make it.
Share the screen. Share the screen.
Here we go. Hold on.
Share the screen.
I will. I got a first call.
Buckling under the pressure like Kyle Shanahan. Call it a Kyle Shanahan moment.
I've got. It's amazing. Okay. There we go. Oh,
there it is.
Hey, hold on. You got to log in. All right. Now I will share the screen after I get rid of some of these.
Golf game, fantasy team, your kids, your bets.
True. I'm loving BetUS though. And we're going to log in and we're going to pick a wager that we're going to go with here. Let me share the screen now that I'm on the
What's
right
that week one line for the Niners down to? Started off at -5, then it was -4. It's going the other direction.
There we go. There's Michael Vick. Hey
Michael Vick. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, so let's go to football and week one. There we go. We'll go week one NFL.
Click on game. Click on game. Click on game. There you go. Right there. You got it.
There we go. There we go.
There it is.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. So we go down to Niners Jets. And we are looking at
-4. With a 44.5, a 44 over under. That's real low.
So over under.
They're expecting Niners to win 24-20.
And Niners -4 against the Jets.
24-20.
You can also go Niners on the money line -2 Bills, or you can go +170 Jets.
I would go under on that. I don't even like 44. I feel like this is two really good defenses.
Low scoring?
I think it's going to be a low scoring game. Like, what about the Niners offense tells you they're going to start hot? Caffrey hurt. Trent's not there. Ike's not there. Nah, I don't. I think this is two really good defenses that are going to play well week one. I like the under. That's what I would go with. But
I'm with you, except this is going to be, we're in the fast surface time of the year, and you know, it's not going to, we're not talking about a mucky, muddy surface, so it's going to be pretty quick surface. You think still under 44?
Two great defenses.
Yeah,
two bad offensive lines.
I mean, it's Rodgers coming back. I think the 49ers, it's probably a run heavy plan. That would be my guess.
Jordan Mason, that kind of stuff. Yes.
Yeah. A run heavy plan. So I kind of agree. I kind of like the under. What I would do in this game is probably tease it. Probably do it.
Tease it.
You might want to tease
it.
You may want to tease it. But would you rather go Niners -4, Jets +4, or money line, or under over? You want to go under?
I like the under. That's my favorite bet on this game, but I feel uncomfortable picking the Niners to cover that spread, even though I'm not necessarily picking the Niners to lose. That's 4 points. Oh, man, I could see them winning this game by 2 or 1.
I know. I have a hard time seeing them losing to the Jets at home in week one. Especially they've had such ownership of Rodgers.
Yeah.
But, I do like the under. So let's go under. Let's go under. We'll go under 44. And how much do we want to risk here?
All the money. $400.
We'll go with 20. We'll go with 20.
20 is good. I like 20 as well.
Very conservative.
Conservative.
Place the bet. And we will make $18.18.
Hell yeah.
If we win
if you teased it,
Would have made less.
What am I?
Is there another? Is there another week? Tease is just you throw seven points or 6 points on either side.
Oh,
And you can play with the over under 6 points on either side. So like, in this Niner game, if I tease this, I like the Niners to win, so I could make it. I could go Niners plus two.
Oh,
or I could go Jets plus 11.
Plus 10.
I go Jets plus 10 or Niners plus two. And I think the Niners plus, you know, minus or plus two is probably
plus two. That's good. I like that. Interesting.
Plus two, yeah. And then you could take that 44 and you tease it up to 50 because you get 6 points on either side and go under. So like if you so now you can go, wait a second, you don't have to go under 44, you go under 50. But it's a little bit less of a payoff.
And all this time, I thought I didn't like a tease, but now I decided that I do.
Yeah, seriously. There you go. Yeah. Is there any other game week one that you're intrigued by that you want to throw some cash on before we get Dallas Cleveland? Cleveland's a 1 point favorite over Dallas.
How about Detroit at home, 3.5.
You like the Lions minus three and a half?
They're really good at home.
Yeah, and also it's Goff against McVay. Yeah. It's like Goff is never going to – Goff may – I think Goff's one of those guys that he's kind of a California laid-back Marin Catholic kid. And, you know, he's not the most fired-up guy all the time. But after the way McVay did him in L.A., I think he'll always emotionally show up for those games. So I'll take Detroit as well.
I agree.
Let's see. We'll go 20 again. Ooh, you make a little money this time. A little extra. So yes, we'll make 1905.
I love that. That's so a great, there you go. Great return.
And as you guys can see, BetUS, very nice, you know, great graphics, great way to take a look at the action every week. Are you looking for a new book this football season? Well, BetUS is the answer. With BetUS, you get the fastest payouts in the industry and easy withdrawals, live wagering in all major games. Plus you get 10% back on your net losses twice a year. So it's hard to top that. And you also get your own personal account manager. Use the link below. Sign up for BetUS today. There's a link in my chat. There's a link in Grant's chat as well because we're both with BetUS. You get 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, up to $2,000. So be sure to use the link below. Sign up for BetUS and help support either of our shows. And thank you to BetUS for being a proud sponsor to Grant's channel and to my channel. All right. Final thought of the day. Wait a second. We have one more here. This one from, Mr. Olight. Great show. Thank you, Mr. Olight.
I agree.
I agree. Excellent.
Hell of a show.
You are an excellent evaluator of shows. What do you got cooking now? What are we looking at schedule wise for the rest of the week? Are we getting to practice tomorrow or?
You got to practice tomorrow late. Like at 2 o'clock, and then we got John Lynch after practice.
Okay.
Presumably to talk about the cutdowns, but you don't know what could happen in the next 24 hours if, you know, a certain left tackle or wide receiver, something happens. We're going to ask questions about it, so that'll be the next opportunity to grill John. Then they have practice on Thursday. Then they have the weekend off, and I think that's the last practice open to the media for the year. Then next year, they're game planning for the Jets.
Was there anybody that was cut today outside of Gore's kid that you thought, you know what? I don't care what the Niner depth chart looks like. This guy's now available. They ought to go that direction. Was there anybody further?
I just saw Frank Gore Jr.'s name out there and I was like, that's the one. But that's yeah, exciting. If there's a DN that has done anything in the league, they should get that guy.
I know. Or seriously. D-end is where I'm going to be looking when I look at this list. I would say the other one that I kind of like, and I know people are going, dude, they don't need this guy. He's a headache. He's nuts. But I think Kadarius Toney is a talented guy. I know Kansas City just gave up on him, but man, that is a really, really talented guy with the ball in his hands. Now, I know he's
just getting the ball nuts. In his hands is an adventure, but once it's there, he's great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Making sure he's on, not offsides.
Yeah.
Making sure he doesn't line up off sides to start, you can't guarantee. But if you can get the ball in his hands, he's dangerous.
Yeah.
Just it's all the lead up to getting the ball in his hands and everything after getting the ball in his hands. That's the problem. What do you got cooking on the Cone Zone the rest of the week, Grant? What are you streaming late more tonight, or is this done the final stream of the day?
I'll be going tomorrow. I'll be going Thursday, Friday. Yeah, but at least once a day the rest of the week, and as much from the facility as I can while these practices are open to us. So I'll probably be going live tomorrow evening. Again, I think it's a 2 o'clock practice tomorrow.
Well, we'll see you down at the facility tomorrow. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to all of the people in the chat. Thanks to Grant. Thanks to me. Thanks to all of you. Peace. Have a great day.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly what you asked for.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.